curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Solnes, and today I have a special guest in the podcast studio. Sarah Mansberger is here with us today from Southwest Michigan First. So she didn't have to travel far, but we are super delighted that she is here. It's kind of a podcast takeover between Carla and Sarah today. So Ron Kitchens, we got the radio and we are on air and ready to share some nuggets of insight. So Sarah, welcome to Ron's podcast.
Thank you, Carla. I'm so excited to be here today. And watch out, Ron, it's the takeover. It's coming.
It's the takeover. Well, Sarah, part of the reason that we kind of wanted to get together and talk online is we have been talking a lot offline about receiving feedback and criticism and dealing with that. Because as professionals, regardless of the stage of your career, how successful you are, receiving feedback is so critical, but it's really hard. It's a really, really hard thing.
It is really hard. And I love that you tee that up saying that no matter where you are in phase of career, right? I think this is one of those topics where you think, oh, I know how to receive feedback. I've been around the block, right? But it changes as our roles change, as our responsibilities change, as our relationships evolve. So this is one of those topics that I think you're just really never done with.
I completely agree. And what strikes me is that we had High School Catalyst a few weeks ago here in Kalamazoo, which High School Catalyst is similar to Catalyst University. It's a full-day conference, but this time for high school students. And John Acuff, a great leadership author and guru, had a really great slide that just sparked me. And you and I have talked about it since then multiple times. But John Acuff's slide said, don't confuse feedback with hate mail. And I felt like that was such an important point to make to high school students, because the world is so noisy with social media and just how quick people can give feedback that it's very easy in person, on the phone, via email, via text, to really hear feedback and to receive it as, this person doesn't like me, they don't accept me, they reject me, they don't think I'm successful, they don't understand me. And it's really easy to accept that as hate mail. And it's usually not to say that it sometimes isn't, and we're going to talk about that in today's episode, but typically people are giving feedback so that you can grow professionally, and so that something that you may have had blinders on, the blinders can be removed and you can grow professionally. And growth does not usually feel good. As we all know, the times when we're usually growing are, they call it growing pains
for a reason.
Ouch. But feedback is not always hate mail. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. So today we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about constructive and destructive feedback and kind of touch on ways of dealing with both of those. So I'm super excited that you're here in the studio so we can talk about what I think is a really important topic for leaders of today. So we're going to kick it off. I like to always end on the positive when we can. So let's talk about the feedback that is really destructive. And I know we started with the slide of John Acuff saying it's not always hate mail, but it sometimes really is just lousy.
Sometimes it is. And we've all had those conversations where, you know, sometimes someone will give us the benefit of saying, I'd like to give you a little feedback. And you go, I think I know where this is going. And even if you follow the mantra, I know we all do, we try so hard to assume positive intent. Sometimes we know, given the person it is, or we know the subject they're going to talk to us about, we know that the likelihood is that this is not going to be something that's easy to receive. Not because it's a growing pain, because we might go, I bet this is going to be unfair, right? I can see it coming. Or you get into a conversation and you go, that was your opening line? Seriously, that's your perspective? Oh no, what am I going to do? You know, how do I start to react? And so I love that you're teeing up this difference between constructive and destructive. And there's a lot of stuff that can fall in between, right? Where there's sort of nuggets of wisdom but there are elements of an approach or a topic that someone brings up in a way that might be insensitive, right? Where we go, ooh, that piece of it is good, but this piece of it, ooh, that stings. And I feel like one of the things that I hear people talking about and end up coaching people on is sort of asking yourself in the context of an entire conversation or even kind of moment to moment, asking yourself, is this a Teflon moment? Do I need to let that zinger that came my way just roll right off? And really keeping that question at the forefront of your thinking. You want to balance that. You want to be listening, but constantly having that just sort of filter in your head, especially if you are anticipating or you're in the midst of something that you go, this is on the destructive side.
I like that Teflon moment because we talk about things being, you know, kind of sticking to you and reacting. And it's really important to be able to stay listening anytime that you're in a dialogue with another human being. And in a relationship, you have to stay engaged as a listener. And so being able to kind of have that easy way to remember, like, there's going to be things that are really unfair that I can probably let slide. And there are other things that, you know, that's really going to damage the relationship for a while and I can't let it slide.
And just your frame right there, Carla, about the focus on the relationship, to me, more than anything else, I mean, that's just the crux, right? Whether you're in a fair or unfair situation, ultimately someone is coming to you to give you feedback. Even if you feel like it falls in the hate mail category, they're taking the time to share something with you. And there's a relationship at stake there. And on the receiving end, thinking, how do you want to be known for how you handle those tough moments in relationships? And it's really hard, right? You have to have such good habits of self-awareness and really thinking about being intentional about managing your own reactions. You and I have had a lot of conversation and even sometimes on this podcast about managing our emotion, right? And the amygdala hijack. I know a lot of our listeners out here have heard of this concept, but really the shorthand is those moments when we know we're going to lose our cool. You can feel it. There's a physical reaction. Even just talking about the amygdala hijack, my cheeks are getting warm. You know, I can feel some of that response happening. And knowing that if you're putting yourself in a situation or someone is putting you in a situation where you might be in a space to have that kind of triggered stress response, really being able to forecast what that moment looks like for you, anticipating this could happen to me. And if it does, how am I going to react? And specifically, what can I do to keep my cool and put that relationship first? So I'm not going to take the bait. I know that I take the high road, right? But I especially don't want to turn the interaction into a win-lose. So those two ideas, how do I judge, is this a Teflon moment? And how do I make sure that I'm not creating a win-lose dynamic in the relationship in that moment?
I think that's so important that you talk about that win-lose because, you know, relationships very rarely just end, especially in your professional career, that you end up usually crossing paths again. And let's face it, you usually don't get into a conversation where you just slam the door and walk out of your work. Maybe some people do, but it's not as common as you might think. And so that relationship has to be maintained even if there is a disagreement or feelings are hurt or the conversation or the feedback is really destructive. You have to make a way through it until you have another path to leave that relationship, knowing that even when you leave the relationship, you're likely to cross paths either through other relationships or through other organizational ties at some point. So that win-lose mentality is so important. Like sometimes winning is actually walking away from the conversation, knowing that that feedback was really kind of ridiculous. And I know that, and it didn't feel good. And I don't really respect the way that person came at me with that. But I'm going to keep plowing forward until I can do something about it in a different way.
Carla, I love that you have that focus on, you know, that long-term relationship. And as you say, you never know. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you know I'm coming back and this colleague and I will be sitting next to each other, you know, for the next however many years we're working with each other. Whatever the circumstance, another mantra that I absolutely love that comes from a trainer near and dear to my heart, Jesse Teverbaugh, he would say, be the water, not the gasoline. And I just love approaching any conversation, even if it's going to be a constructive conversation, And you anticipate that, but really keeping in mind, for the sake of the relationship, for the sake of how you show up in moments of tension or stress or conflict, that mantra of be the water, not the gasoline, it puts you in the driver's seat and it puts you in the space of making choices that are effective for the long haul.
One of the other pieces of feedback, or I should say advice, that I received early on about receiving feedback was that you have to build a network of people that you really feel like and trust will give you honest feedback, and that not every person that you run across, regardless of title, is really a reputable source of feedback. Some people are looking at things from an angle in which, again, regardless of title or power, really don't necessarily have all of the facts and may not be the most reputable source of feedback for you. And so identifying that early, and I always go in knowing that I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt and listen. And sometimes, again, it's uncomfortable to receive feedback because you want to step in and defend yourself or defend a decision. But really listening and asking a lot of questions can help you to identify, do I not just understand where the person's coming from? Do they have points that really are good? Or is this just an unhealthy and somewhat destructive situation, of which I can then now, after a couple of times of this happening, I can then say, you know, this person's probably not the most reliable source of feedback, but I do have this whole other network that I can talk to and say, hey, just checking in, did you feel this way, or do I come across that way, or in this situation, what do you think about this decision, so that you can balance that out? Because you don't want to just cut ties with somebody the first time that feedback is destructive, because it could be an isolated incident. But at the same point, you don't want to keep driving yourself crazy with trying to figure out whether or not there's any nugget of wisdom in there. So I find it helpful to give people a good 3 or 4 times and then to say, you know, I'm going to listen to what they have to say. I'm not going to argue with them, but I also am going to just be able to reassure myself after the conversation that they're coming at it from a point of view that doesn't fully understand all the facts and things that are going on in this situation. So it's not the most reliable source. And I'm going to then seek reliable source information to make sure that I did make a good decision, or that I am acting in the way that I feel as though I want to be remembered by.
I love how you position that. It's almost like the concept of our, you know, our personal board of directors, or sort of along those lines. I like to think of it almost as your feedback portfolio, that you're diversifying the perspectives that are investing in you, and that you are in turn investing in those relationships, and really thinking about it from that perspective that, you know, we would never, from an investment perspective, put all our eggs in one basket and expect to have that be the sole source of our return. The same is true of how we invest in our human capital and in ourselves, and really having, again, that portfolio of perspectives. And it's a two-way investment. We're asking, when we ask others for feedback that we know is going to be, to your point, reliable, and we hope reliably constructive, we have to invest in those relationships as well. And I just love that that can become a mutual engagement and really a journey of improvement.
Okay, so Sarah, we've talked a little bit about dealing with destructive criticism. So we mentioned, you know, if it's completely baseless, then you have to find a way to kind of ignore it, move on. You talked about kind of thinking of it as a Teflon. We talked about win-lose and really trying to keep that relationship as reasonably sound as possible for the long haul. And then not engaging or becoming combative, you know, really trying to stay calm, take the high road as much as we can. I think you use the words like be the water and not the gasoline. I love all of that. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, the real conversation of when, you know, somebody is just giving you feedback and you don't think it's destructive, but it still is icky. Like, it still doesn't feel good. So how do you navigate that when you're getting feedback that isn't necessarily destructive? You may not like the way that it feels. You may not agree with all of it. But how do you encourage professionals to be open to that feedback, even though it doesn't feel good?
You know, Carla, there's so many different techniques that you can practice when you know you're going to be on the receiving end of feedback, even if it is the best possible version of it. It's uncomfortable. You talked about that in the beginning. You know, we call them growing pains for a reason. Feedback is kind of point one on a multi-step journey of improvement. And if you can approach it with that mindset, you're teeing yourself up and you're teeing up, again, the relationship for some rich steps forward. You know, we talked a little bit about the role of the amygdala hijack and approaching feedback on the receiving end with an emotionally intelligent perspective. And I think making a couple assumptions at the beginning, this person has my best interest in mind, and therefore I'm going to mine for the good stuff, not meaning I'm going to look for the silver lining or look for areas of where they're complimenting me. I'm going to look for the good stuff, meaning the nuggets of wisdom that if I took a moment and stopped and said, what can I use for the sake of getting better? Looking for those couple of points that they're articulating to you and really making a plan to move those points forward. And what does that mean? That means giving yourself the time and space to go, I'm going to have an emotional reaction to this, and I don't want my emotional reaction to override that good stuff. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to ask more than I tell in this conversation. I'm going to ask for time if I need it to process. I'm absolutely going to say thank you for giving me the feedback. And I'm going to take that feedback and in that moment say, I appreciate you sharing this with me. I want to be able to take some time and figure out next steps for myself and then go do just that. And it's okay to take a little bit of time. For someone who's giving you feedback with sensitivity or, again, with that positive intent, they will absolutely understand. We've all been on both sides of that equation. And think of what's the reaction that you would hope for if you, as the person giving feedback, that's an act of summoning courage as well, right? People who are giving you positive feedback want it to go well. They want it to help you improve. And just even coming in with that mindset that knowing someone is making, although it might not feel like it in the moment, an investment in your success. And so again, how do you take those nuggets of wisdom, take some time with them, and really make a plan? And I think it's really easy to take it and kind of sit in that moment and maybe make a change or two. You have to remember to circle back. You have to remember to say, hey, as a result of our conversation, we talked about this, this, and this. I want to either ask more from you about this specific point or show them one of the things that you've done in response to that conversation. Again, this is really about a dialogue, and it might be stilted or uncomfortable in the beginning, but it's the beginning of a longer conversation about your ability to grow and excel.
I absolutely love the quote, mine for the good stuff, because anytime you're in a situation where somebody's critiquing not even just you or giving feedback on a program or a service or some work product that you've been working on, your performance in some way, you know that there's going to be some things in there that they just may not understand the dynamics of. And that just is the world that we're living in. Things are moving so fast that it's hard to understand the role that every single person plays within your agency. But that doesn't mean that there isn't feedback in there and good nuggets in there that you can grow from. And I think too often we hear something that, you know, we think to ourselves, well, that doesn't even make sense. And then you shut down and you think this feedback is unwarranted, it's unsolicited, it's not helpful, they don't understand, I'm just scrapping it all. When really there is, as with any pile of rubbish, there usually is a treasure in there, and it's a process of kind of sticking through it and finding that. And there usually is something in there that you can learn from, even if it ends up being learning how to navigate that complex situation in a human dynamic where you're receiving that.
You know, as you're talking, I'm hearing just sort of two principles jump out. Get clear and look for the lesson. And to your point, the lesson might not be the words that are being shared with you. The lesson might be in how to navigate the relationship. But that part about getting clear, you know, if someone's offering you feedback and you're not quite sure where it's coming from, even if it's well-intentioned or well-delivered, but to your point, you kind of shut down and go, I don't think you understand my context, and therefore what you're saying is invalid. Do some investigating. Ask some good questions. Get clear, respectfully, kindly. in the spirit of partnership to really get to what's really at stake. I really want to make sure that you and I are, you know, sharing in a shared sense of meaning right now and establishing some shared context so that you can get clear on what the real issue is at stake and what this person's trying to share with you. Sometimes easier said than done.
Sarah, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I loved our conversation, and it's just such a pleasure to have you here and to be able to share a little bit of dialogue with you on such important conversations. So thank you. A couple of my takeaways, you know, we started out with the don't confuse feedback with hate mail and kind of ended up with, you know, mine for the good stuff. And I think those two takeaways alone are just so important as, again, at any stage in your career, really beginning to think about and continuing to think about how do I handle myself in these situations where I'm receiving feedback or criticism or whatever word you like to put in that growing pain situation, you know, not confusing everything with hate mail, but being able to sort out and mine for the good stuff in there, which usually there is. And so, Sarah, thank you again. I'd love to invite you back at some point to talk about how to give feedback, because we could certainly decrease the destructive feedback if people learn how to give feedback in a healthy and positive way. So maybe that can be a future conversation on Ron Kitchen's podcast.
I would love it, Carla. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, listening audience. If you have additional questions or topics for Ron and I to explore or for Sarah to explore, just give us a shout out. We'd love to hear from you. Ron@ronkitchens.com.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him @ronkitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.